WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
It's looking more and more like how I'm used to it looking. A little bit dark outside. Welcome to Brian's Beat, Monday evening, after a Monday afternoon of doing the Barry Ricardo show. How you doing today? As you know, Brian's Beat is the original show, born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. Glad to be with you today. Lots to get into, and of course, we will take your calls at 508-996-0500. Where do I want to start? Let's start with the regular intro, and then I got to get into this story that I just saw on TV. Unbelievable. All right, first thing. Today is Community Media Day. Community Media Day. Welcome to it. It's also Multicultural Diversity Day. I guess it's 2025. I guess we should expect Multicultural Diversity Day. I think if it said multicultural non-diversity, I'd be perplexed. Multicultural and diversity, they almost sound the same to me. When I think of multicultural, I automatically assume they're talking about some type of diversification. Anyway, it is what it is. It's also the day of the air traffic controller. And if you are an air traffic controller, you're listening to this show, maybe you're up in the tower over in New Bedford, or maybe you're crawling out of the sack, getting ready to go to work in Chicago or Los Angeles, wherever. First of all, thanks for listening. And second of all, I guess I should say I appreciate the fact that you are going to work today without any pay. And I'll keep my remarks kind, because quite frankly, I'm wondering, here we are day 20, day 21 into this federal government shutdown. And I have to ask, unless you're sure, for sure, for sure, that you're going to get back pay, I got to wonder, why do you still go to work? I know it's one thing to love your job. That much? Okay. The Convention of 1818 carved an uneven border between Canada and the United States. I think you can pretty much tell that if you look how the border between Maine and Canada kind of goes up and then down, then go across New Hampshire and Vermont, then it seems to go up into New York, and then it goes all kinds of haywire. Anyway, that is supposedly along the 49th parallel. And that's how the United States and the United Kingdom kind of planned it to be, mostly along the 49th parallel. There are some uneven bars there, but that's it. The Convention of 1818 gave us what we now call our border between Canada and the United States. The Brian's Beat quote of the day: feeling gratitude isn't born in us. It's something we are taught. And in turn, we teach our children. Had a guy ask me earlier today, and I think he was right on point. What about those kids unfortunate and they don't have their parents, or their parents somehow, some way got hooked on drugs and the kids were taken out of the family? How do they learn? Feeling gratitude isn't born in us. It's something we are taught. And in turn, we teach our children. Dr. Joyce Brothers. 508-996-0500. Okay, here it is. So I'm bringing stuff into the studio, trying to get myself situated, and I turn my head to my left where the TV's on, and there's a news story on. And I'm reading, and it says, airline forced to land Chinese. Okay. Wasn't written in Chinese. It was written in English. So apparently this Chinese passenger jetliner takes off and is forced to turn back because of some type of trouble. The plane crash lands in a body of water, but it's right up there snug against the coast. And so now you see cameras somehow inside the jetliner. And inside, there's a fire that breaks out in one of those overhead bins where we put our hats and our coats and stuff like that. You know, a fire in that overhead bin. What do you think the passengers are doing? What do you think these passengers are doing? I couldn't believe it. You know, my thought would be people are scrambling to get off the plane. There's a fire on the plane. Let's get the hell out of here. Oh, no. I did not see one person that wasn't composed. I'm not saying that they weren't. I didn't see them. But here's what I did see. 5, 6, 7 different people. They had their cell phones out. And they're taking videos and photos from their chairs. There's a fire on this plane. They're sitting in their chair and they're taking videos and photos. Now, pardon me. Maybe I'm a dumb cluck, but I'm getting the hell out of there. Fire on a plane. Part of the plane's in the water. Part in what they probably didn't know is part of the plane broke off. Part of the plane is floating in whatever body of water that was. And these people are, you know, no, let me get my phone out. I bet Aunt Mabel will like this one. And you, are you serious? Fire on the plane? You know there's a fire on the plane. And you're just kind of sitting there. Let's get some video of it. Who am I but W.B. Mason? 508-996-0500. Earlier today, I brought up, I think the first thing I talked about on Barry's show was the fact that something was going on over at Foxwoods. I didn't know exactly what it was. The story came out after the show this afternoon. Numerous police, I'm getting this from Channel 5, numerous police agencies swarmed a hotel tower at Foxwoods Resort's casino early this morning. The Tribal Nation Police said the situation was centered on a room in the property's Fox Tower. Video from outside shows a whole bunch of police cruisers. According to a spokesperson for the police department, an earlier incident at Fox Tower has been safely resolved. Our team was able to enter the room without incident. We thank members of the police force and the joint efforts of local and state agencies for their professionalism and quick action to resolve this matter. I don't know how quick. It took several hours. Everything, according to Foxwoods, is back to normal. I did hear from a caller earlier today who said two of his daughters were at Foxwoods. One wasn't really caught up in the malaise over there at the Fox Tower. Another one was up in her room on the 25th floor at the Fox Tower and later decided that, you know, she was tired of sitting around, and she went down to play some games. there was never a story dealing with this incident, whatever it really was, over at Foxwoods that said that the games weren't going on. So people were still gambling away. Again, like the folks on the Chinese jet that crash landed. My guess is you got people that go to Foxwoods. They're serious about their business of gambling. And if something is going on the 16th or the 14th or the 15th floor, and they're down on the first floor, hey, that's way up there. Give me the dice, you know. Give me the cards. Gasoline prices. We talked earlier, and we often talk on this show about how prices are just going way out of whack. Gasoline prices here in the Commonwealth for the second consecutive week, down. The average price for a gallon of gas in Massachusetts, $2.94 for regular unleaded. Down from $2.98. I can't tell you the last time I paid $2.90 anything for a gallon of gasoline. Most of the time I go over to BJ's, and I was at BJ's the other day. If you don't have a car to BJ's, you can save more than enough money just on buying gasoline, really. So I paid $2.63 the other day, and the time before that, I was paying $2.59. And they say the average price per gallon, I guess at all the other stations, and probably including a BJ's here and there, $2.94. I guess we can kind of say the Trump administration is slowly but surely bringing the gas prices down. But it's offset. In fact, more than offset, it's lost in the fact that grocery prices are up, utility prices are up, electronics up, buying a new car up, buying a used car up. So, yes, yeah, there are people that before the election voting for Donald Trump because they were paying two something or a dollar something for gas before Biden took office. And then, and they're right, the gas prices just went right up. It's like the little mercury in the thermometer just going from down the bottom, boop, all the way through and breaking its way out. However, you might be paying less for gasoline. What are you paying at the grocery store? Did this administration bring the price of groceries down? Not that I'm really expecting them to, as I don't blame Joe Biden for those prices going up. But like most of us, we're going to point our finger at the person in charge. It's like the quarterback on the football team. Well, if that's the case, if we point the finger at Biden for the prices going up, I guess we point the finger at Donald Trump because the prices are staying up. In some cases, they're going up even higher because of the tariffs. Oh, I know things are going to get better. How long do you think people can hold out for things to get better? 508-996-0500 to get onto the program today. A couple of other things, not necessarily presidential fodder. A couple of big government stories since I'm for small government. Let's start with this one, really close to home. Remember the elderly home, senior housing fire in Fall River that was fatal? More than a month ago now, but you know the fire I'm talking about. Well, leave it to Bacon Hill lawmakers and others to think that maybe they have figured out how to make sure it doesn't happen again. Their plan is to overhaul the safety guidelines, safety regulations. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that none of them need to be tweaked, updated to where we are here in the year 2025, but an overhaul? It's sad what happened that, I think it was a Sunday night, that Sunday night. But what's going to happen if, and I do put the emphasis on those two letters, I and F, what happens if there's another nursing home fire? It's like the outbreak during COVID at the veterans home out in Western Massachusetts. Things had to be changed around because of that. By the way, have you noticed any of the changes? Has anything really gotten better? This is why I'm bringing this up. Leave it to Bacon Hill lawmakers and other regulators to say, well, you know, if we change this, let's overhaul it and make it a big story. So it makes it sound like we're doing something here. We always complain that our Bacon Hill lawmakers aren't doing anything. Well, if they take a story like this and say, hey, look, we're doing something, well, then you know what? Come election time, and when is that? About a year from now. Come election time, folks are going to say, well, look, they did something. 2 or 3 years down the road when the bad thing happens again, what do you think the lawmaker is going to do? You're right. They're going to try to fix it again. Speaking of the big fix, I started talking about this and I'm still waiting to get a little bit more information on it, but I'm going to bring it to you the way that I know at this particular time. The Healey administration is moving to thwart the will of the people. You may recall last November, I know we're in October, but last November, Bay State voters said no to keeping MCAS as a graduation requirement. The Board of Education, guess what? They're working on a new type of assessment. This assessment deals with certain classes that you take. I'm going to be presumptuous and say your science, your math, your English, your history, and there may be others. Instead of having an MCAS type test, you're going to be assessed, the students, excuse me, will be assessed upon completion of that class. Exactly how that's going to work, all the I's dotted and T's crossed, that crap hasn't been worked out yet. But if I recall the story correctly, superintendents of schools and some school committees have been asked their opinion of these changes. And the response was, you're going to put more pressure on the kids. Maybe pressure is what these kids need. You know, who am I? So those are some of the big things happening. Got a couple of other updates for you. Actually, I don't know that I want to call this an update. I brought it up earlier today. As you know, we are, what, 2 weeks and a day? Is that right? 2 weeks and a day? Yes. 2 weeks and 1 day away from the November election, also known as the New Bedford City elections. At large councilors, district or ward councilors, and also for the school committee. Now, I'm not a big fan of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I believe that all of us should have an equal chance, an equal opportunity. We should not be denied that opportunity. That is my firm belief, especially when it comes to government. Well, turns out there are four candidates seeking 1, 2, 3 seats on the New Bedford School Committee. Four candidates, 3 seats. One is an incumbent, and this is her first time for re-election. That's Melissa Costa. There is no reason in my brain to think that she won't win re-election. She is one of the four candidates. Vaughn Marie Moniz is a candidate. Those are the two female candidates. Marcus Coward. Boy, you got to do something about that last name, though. Marcus Coward is a candidate for school committee, as is Rick Porter, a candidate for school committee. I mention their names. If you are a voter in the city of New Bedford and you do decide to vote, remember, less than 6% showed up for the preliminary, and the expectation is 12% for the November election. So that means 88% of registered voters aren't going to go to vote. Or at least that's the prediction. 88%. That is so sad. But anyway, all four of these contestants, all four of them, say they support diversity, equity, and inclusion. And a couple of them, not only do they support it, they say that more needs to be done. And maybe I should understand this. Maybe I need to look at things through a different lens. Marcus Coward. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he's African American, maybe Cape Verdean. And for those that don't get it, as an African American myself, I make the differentiation because of the fact that Cape Verdeans know where they came from. African Americans are African Americans because, quite frankly, Africa is a huge continent, and many of us don't know where our family tree may have originated. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. I'm going to speak for myself. I don't know. Fair enough? All right. Vaughn Marie Moniz. She calls herself Latina. Melissa Costa, white Portuguese, gonna guess on that part, just because of the last name. Rick Porter is a white male, but he is in a man-man relationship. Nothing wrong with it, I'm just saying. So I bring this up to maybe say, well, maybe that's the reason for their liking of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm a black male, and I think that we all deserve the opportunity, but you gotta make that opportunity too. Instead of waiting for somebody, oh, here's the silver platter. Here's your opportunity. Now go make out of it what you can. That's not the way the founding fathers thought of it. No matter what they may have thought about slavery or black people or women, that is not how they envisioned things. So all of them. Rick Porter, as an educator for so many years, that was just in the grain of what we did. I think we need to take a look at our hiring practices to make sure that Our staff is representing the students that are there. I'd also like to take a look at in terms of the administration and our buildings to make sure there's no barriers in some of our policies and some of our structures that are going to impact some of our marginalized population. Whew. I've spoken to Rick a couple of times. That's a mouthful right there. Why can't we just say, if you want to, you know, give people options. Give people choices and let them choose what they want. The kids are forced to take all of these classes. Now you're forcing them to take tests. This is what happens in the government system. And quite frankly, it makes me want to puke. I'm so, you know, I just get fed up with it. And I'd like to think I know there are other people that feel the very same way. But you know what? Most of the time, they're afraid to say something about it. I'm not. I've spoken to, you hear me. I've spoken to school committee members, city councilors. I don't talk to the mayor that much, but I do talk in my town to my select board members. We are in a situation right now. The mayor is younger than me. I don't think there's any, there might be one city councilor in the city of New Bedford who's older than me. There may be two select board members in Dartmouth that are older than me. But by and large, this whole thing dealing with diversity, equity, and inclusion, if you're in your early 50s, your 40s, your 30s, your 20s, and we know the kids have been inundated with DEI all of their life. What I'm getting at here is we have a couple of generations teaching DEI. It is a part of the fabric of the United States of America. I don't know how we're going to be able to just weed it out. I know Donald Trump is trying his best, but I think his approach is hurting more than helping, hindering more than helping. As most of us don't want DEI forced down our throats or into our kids' epiglottis, it works the same way. Donald Trump is trying to force it out. And people, you know, people are used to it now. So as it was spoon-fed in, it needs to be spoon-fed out. Going at it the way that the president seems to think it can work is part of the reason why you had that No Kings rally the other day. And chances are there going to be more. But speaking of that, and if you are following me on Facebook, then you have already seen this. Maybe you haven't. So next time you go up to Facebook, whether you go to my profile or to the Brian's Beat talk show page, you'll see something that I put up, and a follower made an astute comment, because I'm not sure myself. What I did is there's a picture of a man from Saturday holding a sign, and it's disparaging of the president. And you know what? In some cases, it might draw the attention of law enforcement. I can't remember the exact words. I think there were two words, but it dealt with the shooting of the president over a year ago now. And I remember my comment was, you know, it's one thing to shout down the president. It's another thing to make a statement like this person made, which would be an automatic, let's chisel Trump right into Mount Rushmore. I don't want him on Mount Rushmore, but I'll tell you what, if something bad happened to the president because of this guy's sign, or somebody else with a similar sign, you see what's going on with Charlie Kirk right now. Whether you agree or disagree, you have to admit you see what's going on with Charlie Kirk right now. What the hell do you think would happen if someone tried to eliminate you know who? You don't think there'd be calls for Mount Rushmore? Let's get him on some type of dollar bill or a $2,500 bill or something like that. Come on. So I think I ended it by saying, please stop it, knucklehead. Look, I'm not crazy about this president, but I don't wish anything ill on him. Just like I don't wish anything ill on any of the people that seem to be getting the ill put on them by this administration. 508-996-0500. That's how you get on to Brian's Beat.
Liberty, once lost, is lost forever.
This is WBSM.
For years, you've seen some commercials where one battery company's toys outlast the other toys. So you may have assumed their battery outlasts even Energizer batteries. Fact is, Energizer was never invited to their playoffs. And today's Energizer won't be invited either. Why? Because no battery lasts longer than Energizer.
Low-cost air helps you find the best airfares, foreign and domestic. Low-cost air, 800-221-6085. Low-cost air, 800-221-6085.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
But I actually asked her, I'm going to get her in trouble with this, but I actually asked her once. I said, so Miriam, I know you love Israel. What do you love more, the United States or Israel? She refused to answer. That might mean Israel, I must say.
So if I gauge that correctly, that was in the Knesset last week, and those minor claps that you heard there must have been from some Israelis, because they're hearing that maybe Miriam Adelson prefers Israel over the United States. She's got dual citizenship. Wow. Pretty bold by the president. Got this call here. Facebook. This is what I wrote. First of all, the picture shows a guy with a sign, a placard, whatever you want to call it. It says wanted. And then underneath it's written better snipers. And guess who the picture is of in the middle there. You got it. So I wrote, it's one thing to shout down the president as king. It's so misguided to advocate for the chisels to mold 47 onto Mount Rushmore. Please grow up, knucklehead. That's what I wrote. 508-996-0500. Thank you. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Hey. I wanted to mention something about Maura Healey before we get off the call, because you mentioned her earlier. But, Trump's already had two attempts at his life, at least one physically and one about to happen, because there was locked and loaded in the chamber when they caught that second knucklehead. I think, and you were kind of talking about Charlie Kirk, but, you know, I guess where's our humanity these days? Do you remember when, you don't remember this, but in history, Charles Lindbergh's daughter, actually, Charles Lindbergh's son was kidnapped.
Wasn't it a grandson?
No, it was his son. And he was, at the time, the contrast to Trump or anybody else, he was a great American hero for flying across the Atlantic, and yes. Someone had kidnapped his son, and the whole world stopped about that. The same thing happened with Apollo 13, and there were different times where you stop because your humanity. President Kennedy getting shot. Mm-hmm. And that's the good part about America. I should say America. It's a good part about people in the world is when they can stop and put the politics aside and religion aside and everything aside and let their humanity stand out. If Trump were shot, I always kind of think after what happened to Charlie Kirk, he got like one day of pause. And then the second day, all the evil people in the world had to say something, they probably were on Facebook their whole, the last 10 years of their lives saying nasty, crappy stuff to people they don't even know. And then, when Charlie Kirk gets shot, the first thing out of their mouth is, I can't wait to say something nasty because someone's going to say something nasty and I get to say something nastier. And there's definitely this rush for the bottom. And I can only imagine if Trump were shot and killed, I don't think there would be a day pause. I don't think there would be any. I think there would be people in the streets like No King celebrating, because I think there's some really sick people in this country right now that are deranged. I mean, it's all I can think, because it's their actions, not their words. And their words are one thing, but there's so many actions. Like the person you just outlined that took the time to sit down with his crayons at whatever. He looks like he's 70 years old and draw and put a picture of Trump and draw crosshairs and, wanted snipers. Something might be funny if you're having beers with a couple of friends around a fireplace or fire out in the back of your yard. Holy crap, man. You showed up to a rally to kill the president is what you did. And you put it in writing and you're holding it up in the air, as your symbol. It's we're in a really bad place, Brian.
I think you're right.
Think about it.
I think you're right. I know you wanted to get into something else, but I got to get on to another call.
That's okay.
That's cool.
Right, man.
Thank you. 508-996-0500 to get on. Let's hear from you. Hello.
Hello, Big Daddy.
Hey, baby.
Hey, listen, I love Steve's take on things. I would say he was a little older than me because I was just a baby when Kennedy got shot. I mean, I was literally 3 months old. But one of my best friends was about 7 or 8 years old. He got off the school bus, and my mother was shocked because he was celebrating Kennedy getting shot.
The kid that got off the school bus was celebrating?
Yeah, because his parents were Republicans and they didn't like Kennedy. He was a kid.
Not that
he
it's
was
okay, a, he but was I a, mean,
he had the mind. He had the mind of an 8 year old, right? And he, what did he understand?
Mm-hmm.
What was appropriate? What wasn't? I think that's kind of what's going on the internet. People don't understand that some of these things really aren't appropriate. But why not? You're anonymous. You're on Facebook or whatever. Platform you happen to be on.
Yeah, but I would say in this day and age, if you're on social media, you're not anonymous.
Well, maybe not as anonymous as you think, as people seem to be.
Yeah,
finding out who you are. Anyway, it's people are weird. I'm not sure they're evil for doing it. They're
misguided.
I'm not sure exactly how to describe them. I don't think it's evil, though. Evil is doing it misguided or bizarre is celebrating it. But I wanted to just bring in something that you might get a kick out of. I called up the IRS today.
I'm going to get a kick out of that.
The 1-800 number? Yeah, during the government shutdown.
Yeah.
I called up Friday. All right, this is stupid. I called up as early about 8:15 this morning because I had a question. I had a anyway. 45 minutes, I actually got a live person. And she answered my question and ultimately said, yeah, you'll get your check when the shutdown's over. But it wasn't that much money, but I thought I'm subject to some identity fraud alerts. And I was like, if you guys said, you guys on August 25th said the check's coming, get it in a couple, 3 weeks. And now it's been about, 8 weeks since then. And I never got it. The government's only been shut down for 3 weeks. But she said, yeah, you'll get it eventually when the government clears it up, when the government opens up again. But she did answer my question. I got a live person. God bless her for, I'm sure she's getting paid. But I did get a live response from the IRS.
You know what? I would have asked her if she's getting paid.
Well, I was glad she looked it up and answered my question. I was afraid that the thing had been issued and then it got lost. Something else happened. But she did look it up. I'm pretty sure she's getting paid. They have core right. If you're essential, you get paid.
Well, I didn't know the IRS was essential.
Some of it is. They have to cash. Somebody's going to cash the checks. You're still obligated to pay your estimated taxes and your various withholdings and everything.
Doesn't that money, that money just goes, you write a check and it goes into the bank, doesn't it?
Well, some of it has to be processed by human beings. And you're a small business and you make your payments by check, which I'm sure a lot of people do.
I guess some of that has to be. You're right. Good point. Hey, going to let you go only because I want to get on to somebody else.
Thanks
for the call.
Thanks.
You too. 508-996-0500. Hello.
Good evening, Brian.
Good evening, Brian.
Brian, I'm only bringing this up. I had no intention of calling in, but I did hear you talking about the person. I believe it was in Mattapoisett that I heard Chris McCarthy talking earlier with the sign about we need a better sniper.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if you know this. I don't know if this is breaking news, but in the last 2 days, I've seen it twice on Fox. I have yet to see it on mainstream media, but I've seen it twice on Fox. Doesn't mean it's not on mainstream media.
Fox is mainstream media.
Okay. Well, I'm talking the alphabet networks. But anyway, the Secret Service did a perimeter sweep this weekend. Or sometime in the last few days, they did this perimeter sweep. But Trump was leaving. He's always on I think he was going to Mar-a-Lago. And they found not far and within the sight line of Air Force One, they found a tree stand. Again, I don't know if you've heard this story or not.
No, I haven't. Well, I'm going to ask you, what's a tree stand?
A tree stand, and I'm not a hunter.
All right, but tell me what a tree stand is, please.
A tree stand is a small, usually you can even buy them, I want to say, in like Bass Pro Shops and stuff. It's for hunters. It's what it is. It's like a small platform where a hunter goes up in a tree, and this is hunting season, to the best of my knowledge, in Massachusetts. I think it's hunting season right now. And they go up there with their guns, and there's nothing illegal about it. It's for hunters. They take their guns up.
So in other words, it's something that you step on to get a better sight.
Exactly.
Thank you.
The issue is, and again, the Secret Service checked this out. What happened was they saw this was in Andrews Air Force Base. They found a tree stand that was within the sight line of Air Force One. And even like how the president would disembark off the plane. And so, again, I don't know. I don't think I'm breaking the news. I'm just telling you in regards to, they're checking this out big time because they're saying
checking because we started with this sign. What are they? What's this have to do with that sign?
I think it's very, very bad to be put. And I know he's got his First Amendment right, Brian, but I think it's he could have definitely. If you hate Trump, that's one thing. You can choose better words than we need a better sniper, Brian.
I'm not arguing that. I'm just trying to figure out how your story is going from that to this tree stand.
Because the constant rhetoric never stops with the Democrats. It doesn't stop.
How do you know this guy's a Democrat?
Well, when you put a sign out there, when you're holding a sign up there in a No Kings rally, that we need a better sniper, I'm going to take a wild guess and say you're not a Trump supporter.
There's plenty of people that aren't Trump supporters that aren't Democrats. See, this is what I've been getting at. People like to label. That's what you did. You labeled this guy, and I don't know him from Adam, okay?
I don't know him from Adam either.
But you're calling him a Democrat. You've just labeled all the Democrats. You didn't mean to do it, but that's what you did.
Brian, I had no intention of calling you tonight, but like I said, I saw the story. I thought I'd bring it to your attention because I didn't know if you had heard it.
No, I didn't hear the other part, but I'm sure when, you know, you brought an apple in and then you mixed it in with the orange.
It comes down to rhetoric, Brian. I think the Democrats should turn around and start, you know, they keep saying we need to lower the temperature. How about you call out your own people? This was at a No Kings rally. No Kings rally, No Kings protesting. You know, just call it out and say, look, we got to stop this baloney, you know? If there's anything to this, and there may be nothing to it, but boy, it sure is a coinkydink when you're setting up a tree stand not far that's in the sight line of Air Force One and where the president would disembark. And again,
I'm missing something. You've gone from the guy with the sign, and then now you're talking about setting up a tree stand.
No, not. I'm saying it was discovered by Secret Service in the perimeter when they do a perimeter.
The perimeter of Air Force One, or I'd rather of Andrews Air Force Base, not Mattapoisson.
Right, of the Air Force Base itself.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. You know, I just like people to keep the story to what it is. I mean, if you want to go to a different story, you want to go to a different story. But my God, I'm sorry if I thought that you were all over the place, but I think you were all over the place.
We're coming to get our check.
WBSM.
It's Slinky, it's Slinky. For fun, it's a wonderful toy. It's Slinky, it's Slinky. It's fun for a girl and a boy.